So, yeah, so to get started then, just a few questions. Can you tell us, just tell us a little bit about your school or your school business, what you've got going now?
Well, our schools, we currently have four locations, all in Osaka and a little bit in the different areas. We've been in business for, I would say, about 10, so 10 years. About 10 years with the actual physical location from 2016. So it's with the first physical location 7 years ago, and then after that. And kids-oriented school primarily. We do serve adults, but the majority of our clients are children, and it's basically from zero and up. That's in a nutshell. If there's anything more in particular that
Yeah, no,
you
that's good. That gives us an idea of kind of the, you know, your path and how much time where you got to. And so in that time, how many times have you increased prices, or have you increased prices?
Yes, from the time from the beginning, I have increased prices 3 times. So
Okay.
we increased prices 3 times in 7 years.
Okay.
So 3 times in 7 years. The first time we increased prices, it's when I built my actual physical location, and all my students got moved from Kominkans to the physical location. At that time, I've increased prices also. It was a 10 yen increase. I believe it was from 5,000 yen that I used to charge at Kominkan to 6,000 yen.
Okay.
Which is at that time was still pretty doable because I was the main teacher, and then I had what and then I had I hired that was my first teacher that I've hired at that time, or the first kind of staff that I was hiring. So
Right.
I felt the need, to be able to cover it. And then the second time it once second time we raised the salary. Oh, sorry, we raised the tuition another 10 yen to 7,000 yen. Probably, I would say, don't know exactly the year, but I would say about 2 or 3 years into it. So two or three years into it. So probably around right be maybe before COVID,
Okay,
tw like
2018.
2019. I believe we raised 2019 is because that's the years that when we opened our second and third location. And the last time that it, which was already from this year, from this April, we raised another 10 yen. So our raises has been in increments of 10 yen, which is for us, it's about just a bit of under 15% increase. So it's 14 something. And sorry, one more, I would say, I don't know if it considers an increase, but we used to not charge tax. But we've started charging tax, so maybe I would say with it, if you with adding tax, then our increase being 4 times. So we increased 4 times in 7 years. But
That
the
was
fourth,
that when the tax went up to 10%?
that's when was the tax went up to 10%. We did not raise anything when we did not charge even when the tax went up to 8. But then I think it went up to 10% like a year later.
Right.
So that's what we start charging tax.
So and up until that point, it was all of your prices were tax included.
Tax included,
Right,
yes. And
okay.
then we start separate, and then we start charging for tax separately, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So those are actually fairly relatively big increases, but they're kind of spaced out. So the first one, you increased it when you opened your first physical location. So there was a very kind of clear rationale for that, right?
Yes.
And then the other 2 times that you raised prices, was there any kind of way that anything that you attributed it to, or was there a rationale that you gave the customers?
The ra basically the rationale was we wanted the rationale was that in order to continue growing and expanding, and I don't necessarily mean that by as far as student numbers and stuff like that, but growing more in quality and to be able to go hand in hand kind of with our service. Obviously, we need to make certain amount of income in order to update or upgrade the curriculum, upgrade the materials in order to have more devices at schools. But yeah, so in order for us to be able to provide and also to provide that plus the to have the quality of teachers, which is at that point, as we were growing and as we were expanding, I start getting more and more students coming in, especially from the word of mouth, which is especially 1 year. I believe that was our first year of COVID in 2020, when we had like 230 trials within the two and a half months period. And I believe like that year we had like 190 or 197 signups.
Wow.
Which is people were coming in bunches, and it was a kind of word of mouth. Oh, we heard about that school and we heard about the results and we heard about that. So that also prompted us that, you know, we have to look into our overall quality and what kind of teachers do we have, what kind of background and stuff like that. So I start being more selective in that process. So in order, you know, in order to be the best you or provide the best, you have to, obviously you have to be able to afford to pay for it as well, with your organizational system. So that was kind of the reasons why for that raise. And the raise of the money and then the raise that we just did from this year, the motivation was pretty much of the same thing. Another kicker was that we wanted to introduce Gamerize. We wanted to introduce Gamerize to our students. We were still kind of debating where we're going to charge them or it's going to be automatically inclusive and then how we can make it work. So that was part of it. But as we became a corporation, and now I have to work on company systems, the one that I didn't have in place before, you know, I felt the need once again to, you know, in order to be, I need to have to create a different position where the person is not going to be a teacher / manager. He's going to be strictly managing. Right. So that requires, you know, finances. So pretty much that was the motivation behind the raise at this time.
Okay, so I'm hearing kind of two threads there. One is that with growth, there was a certain amount of need to increase the margin because the expenses were also increasing, right?
Correct.
So that's more on kind of on the pull side on what you needed in order to operate and to scale up. And then on the other side, at each stage, you're also looking to increase quality and just improve your offering to continue to improve and give more to the customers, to the students, right?
That is correct. And I think for both last increases, also the main thing was that original idea when I started school was, you know, we were at Comic-Con and stuff like that, so I had to consider the prices based on, okay, I'm teaching at Comic-Con, no overhead, you know, not paying for utilities and stuff like that. But then when you have your physical location, you also have to think, I wanted to be more separate, become more separated from that. Okay, here, it's a Comic-Con school, or it's a single owner operator school, but it is more a legitimate school. So right. I wanted to have more comparison to the big brands, like kind of like ECC in a sort of way. So in order to do that, the price has to come with it, because we do have not many, but one or two people that came for trial and they really enjoyed the trial. But the question was, why are you so cheap? And they didn't sign up because the prices were cheap. It's exactly what the reason they told us.
Yeah.
So it was very few, but, you know, but still.
Yeah, well, those are the ones that mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, I mean, some of the other interviews that I've done, especially with Junpei and Ryan, there is a psychological impact of pricing itself. When you're buying something for a higher price, you're kind of going in expecting it to be high quality.
Yeah.
So certainly if you are putting a lot into creating good quality, but you're offering low prices, people might not even appreciate the fact that it is a quality product. Right?
Exactly. I think it's just like human nature. Okay. I know personally with me, it's the same thing. Japan used to be considered the staple of the electronics because, right, you know, the design and then the quality, how long the product would last was always made in Japan was kind of thing. So it's kind of the same mentality.
I agree with that. So I wanted to just talk a little bit more about what you mentioned for your second price increase. You said that a lot of that was to do with trying to improve or to at least have a more sustainable high level of quality teachers. So by increasing your prices, how specifically did that affect your hiring or your ability to hire and maintain better quality teachers?
Well, you know, first of all, we start advertising at the places that we have not advertised before. Before, usually we're always looking through free routes, you know, the Facebook posts and stuff like that, where later we start advertising more like jobs in Japan and things like that, mm-hmm. where it does, you know, it does cost. However, you do increase the hiring market, and you do increase the quality that you get, and you can be definitely can be. There's a lot more selection. So with that, so the quality of applicants has definitely increased. Another thing is that we were able to set up the systems for our teachers and staff, like office staff, and we were able to bring more support. Instead of hiring full-time office staff, we have an office assistant also in each location now, in addition. So we were able to bring with that. And plus, you know, we were able to make our overall benefit package much, much better, because that was one of the main reasons that I wanted to be stand out as the company. So, you know, our benefit package, it's not the same usually how it will be in Japanese companies. And then, you know, we wanted to have offer a good work-life balance. Right. And with that, I feel like, you know, in order not only to be able to support our staff financially through the salary, but in other means. Mm-hmm. So the increases has allowed us to do that as well.
That's interesting. So it wasn't just you didn't just go straight for an increase in the base salary that you were offering. You chose instead to try to improve your benefits package, as you call it.
Try to improve benefit package from top to bottom, from the management to everyone, mm-hmm. down. Like I said, we're trying to make a better quality of life in regards to, you know, our teachers have a pretty heavy schedule. So I wanted to do something for them and take away, let's say if they're working until 9:30, 10 p.m. in the evening, you know, staying for an extra 30 minutes to clean, you know, it's a big deal, because especially when they've been here all day. So mm-hmm. a few years ago, we took that away, and I was able to hire an actual cleaning crew,
right.
that come in the evening and clean our school. So that's able to keep our school clean at all, every day, all the time. And then help teachers not to stay, you know, save time for teachers not to stay late at night in order to do the cleaning and things like that. So that was one of the things.
Interesting. Okay. And previously, did you have any situations where, for example, you put out an ad or you were trying to hire somebody and you found someone good, but you weren't able to get them because maybe your offer wasn't good enough?
Not really, because like I said, we only start doing that. It's right about when I decided that I'm not going to be in the classroom myself, mm-hmm. and I'm going to concentrate on expanding the business rather than me staying in the classroom being a teacher. So before that, the one or two teachers I had, I actually was overpaying them. Mm-hmm. I was actually overpaying them because I could.
Right.
Because I could, and I was working towards, you know, one year future. It didn't really work out that way, but, you know, to answer your question, usually if I saw potential that somebody can be good, I was able to pay it. It's just because we financially I was able to, and so it was not that. But once we start expanding and especially having more locations, obviously, you know, you need a teacher for each classroom.
Right.
So with that in mind, then we start looking into definitely better quality teachers, and try to offer a good benefit package from the get-go. So right. Not like, okay, you've been with us for 2 years, now you qualify for that. But, you know, I wanted to be able to be attractive from the beginning.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. The last increase you mentioned also, yeah, so you added on Gamerize, and also you turned your company became a corporation, and you were again sort of adding more of a kind of a layer of management. Is that right?
Yes, really. Yes, we've added layer of management, and each year, so I do have two teacher managers, but with each year we were able to decrease their teaching hours. Mm-hmm. And so to decrease their teaching hours, I had to hire an actual teacher to fill those hours. And right now I have one of my managers teaching, I think, 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
3 days a week, and then from October is going to go into 2 days a week, right. And then the other manager teaching 3 days a week. So, you know, they only have about 10-14 teaching hours in total,
mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe in a week, but the rest of the time they are able to concentrate on, you know, on the more on the managerial things and helping run the restaurant and operations.
Yeah, and that definitely does increase your expenses, right? I mean, the more hours that you have that are not going directly into lessons.
Yes, of course, that has to come up from somewhere else. So, yeah.
Okay. So how do you structure your fees? Do you have, for example, an entry fee? Do you have a yearly fee, materials, gesha? What's the structure?
So our fee structure is like this. When the student, at the beginning, when the students sign up, or students pay. So we do have an initial fee. Usually our initial fee is HMIN. Mm-hmm. And when students sign up, they pay initial fee. They pay first month and last month fee. We do charge last month's fee. Mm. So that way when they give us, because our exit policy is they got to give us 30 days notice.
Right.
So we can notify the bank. But also if they're, you know, a lot of times, sometimes that it happens that, you know, when they decide, if someone decides to quit, you know, for whatever the reasons, they may not be able to come. They give the notice, but they're like, okay, we're not going to be able to come, whether it's right. Juku or whatever the case may be. So, and it protects the company that we don't have to run up to people, because we are, even if they don't show up, we already collected the last payment from the beginning.
Right.
So we charge personal last month fee, initial fee, and we do charge a yearly material fee. So we don't have a monthly fee for materials, but we do have a yearly material fees that includes all the books and all the other things that we charge. So we, you know, for example, yearly printing fee we charge from mm-hmm. students. So we charge Nissan Yen for a year for each student in printing fee, which is obviously goes printing and flyers and things like that whenever we do. So that helps as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is it's always been helpful to us. And not that's part of the reason that was very helpful, especially when we did not raise prices. But we do, you know, if you got, you know, we have 800 students times Nissan Yen, that's a nice chunk of change. And then we can divide that money into marketing as well to, you know, for flyers or pay for flyer drops and things like that. So
in terms of the way that you rationalize that for the students, so let's say that your staff is explaining the fee structure or something like that, that does the printing fee, is that listed in there or is it?
We don't give the exact explanation where it goes, but it just says yearly printing fee.
Really? Okay. Most people just says, probably assume that that's like photocopies for the students.
If they would ask what the goal, we just said printing fee. If somebody asks like, what is the printing fee exactly for? Then we explain that, yes, it goes for, sometimes we use photocopies, some classes more than others. We actually, the biggest photocopies there were, it was our elementary students when we used to be making, you know, Eric Kane's, the workbook pages.
Right, right.
Right. But now it became a book as of 2 years right. ago. So now it's a book. So because we used to be making like 5,000 copies just in those.
Right, right.
It was just too much work. So, but other things goes into copies, letters, whenever, because I still like to give letters on hand, because mm-hmm. I when we stopped and things like that, I found that it you know, it works best. You do that as well.
Right,
so
right.
For any, especially we are really big on events, so any flyers for the events and stuff like that. And then it goes into printing, goes into the marketing, because we calculated that, you know, Nissan Yen for a year, I mean, it's what, like less than, it's like 200 yen.
Right.
200 yen per month, which is not a big deal. We never had any,
right.
Never
right.
had anybody question. But majority of people don't ask, but we give them the breakdown. And it says
that's interesting. We have one course at our school this year that we started that doesn't have a textbook. It's just printouts.
Mm-hmm.
And we charged, I think it was about 2,000, might have been a bit more than that, because the teachers were making a lot of stuff and printing it, right? So we kind of right. wanted to include that in it. But we had one issue. We had a parent complain about it, because sometimes kids don't really want to take stuff home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make these printouts, they do work or whatever, and then they leave it in the classroom or they chuck it out or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the student wasn't taking anything home. So we kind of had to make it a policy for all the teachers to like make sure they're taking it home in their file, like put it in your file.
Right.
That they are seeing the value that they're getting fully, right?
Right. But for that, plus, like I said, we never really had anybody, and then But also part of our explanation goes material figures that throughout the year. So we do have a quality control team that throughout the year, they would check, they will ask all the teachers, for example, please check all your flashcards that you're using. Please check this. So it's kind of ongoing throughout the year to replace new or to make the list and then reprint and replace the stuff like that. This is all all expenses. And when you have several locations and a lot of students and you teach every day, you go through them, because like I said, quality goes together with the service, part of the service.
Right.
So we do that. So when we do explain to the people, you know, to parents that we, you know, it's not just what the child is getting, but other stuff that we do.
Teaching materials, producing and maintaining teaching materials does, I mean, it not necessarily, well, even paper is going up in price now, but even just the hours that it takes, if you want to get a teacher to laminate a set of flashcards or whatever, it's easily an hour of their time as well, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's definitely a real cost for sure.
Because you kind of have to, we definitely do the balancing, you know, even with the raise, but we definitely do the balancing, because if we don't charge, then okay, where is going to be the bigger impact? I think if you're raising the prices to, let's say, if I would raise the prices by 2,000 yen, I think it would be a much greater impact to the school rather than if I would just charge once a year a yearly material fee by 2,000 yen, because you know, pay 7,000, but now it's 9,000. You know, people will think so. I think it will be greater impact than we would have people quitting because the prices went up too high. Mm-hmm. So, but once a year, when especially at the time where all the parents already kind of, you know, massaged into the idea that, okay, right, at this time, April, this is where we pay all the fees everywhere, right? Every night I go to whatever it is they go, they pay for uniforms and stuff like that. So once a year, it's not a big deal because they don't see that impact on a monthly basis.
Right. Yes, that's interesting. I think when I spoke to Adam, one of his thoughts was that he wanted to avoid having a particular period where there was a much higher payment. So I can't remember specifically, but he didn't have a large kind of yearly fee or something like that, so that it didn't create the opportunity for them to kind of go like, do we really want to continue? Like, avoid that. But in your case, that's not it, right? So you have the materials fee, you mentioned the books, the printing fee. Can, before you explain all the rest of the things in it, how much is your yearly materials fee?
Our yearly material fee, first of all, it's not all classes are not created equal. So, and usually for our bilingual program, the 2-hour classes, the material fees are higher. But our material fee run anywhere from just under Ichimayen, and it could be over Nimayen.
Okay.
So that's including, like I said, everything, including the books, including the printing fee. We do charge yearly event fee. We charge Nisengo Hyakuyen and yearly event fee. And then we use that money for presents for kids for Christmas and Halloween and things like that. So
they don't pay for the events. They pay.
They don't. Well, depends. So we have two types. We have two types of events. If we have a Halloween week, which means all classrooms, all schools, we do the preparation and they do it in the class. And then we have a separate event. Whenever we have separate event, then if it's a paid event, then we do charge additionally. But other event fee, like for example, Halloween week, Christmas week, Valentine's Day week, you know, we do charge that some money obviously goes to buy, you know, presents like nice chocolates and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Plus the rest of the money goes also, once again, on preparation, that we do spend money to buy things, whether we're creating new games and things like that. So all goes in the prep. This is 1 hour standard fee, Nisengo Hyakuyen. If they quit before the event, the money is not refundable. So we are able to, that's how we're able to cut down the regular tuition cost, because we have the other fee. And once again, you know, it's not that much. But for a new student, when we have a brand new student starting, usually for brand new students with material fee, the first month or first and last month's fee, it would be anywhere initial would be anywhere from probably like around Sanman to over Yonman.
Right.
As initial. First and last month's payment, material fee. But also that's part of the reason why we also do a lot of our campaigns are surrounded on the thing is, you know, you have half off initial fee, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sign, sometimes if we say if you sign up on the same day, you get zero initial fee. So that helps. That helps, you know, eliminate the waiting period for the signups. Right. Or if you say if you bring another person for both you and your friend, will be zero initial fee. So that helps them to bring one more student. So we use that to manipulate the, you know, probably every other owner does the same thing, but
right. No, that makes sense. So instead of playing with your basic gesha fee, you'll work with the sign up fee and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting. So, okay. So just to wrap that one up. So books, printing fee, events fee, anything else?
Books, events fee, book printing fee, insurance goes in, yearly insurance goes in into the price. And I believe that's about it. I mean, unless if we're selling something, like if you sell the earphones or like we do, so, you know, we just charge, you know, like for the ear, you know, 110 yen for the earphones and stuff like that. But the main costs are either books or, you know, let's say like kids A to Z.
Yeah.
So for everybody, all the students who are in the Kids A to Z program, we do charge Kids A to Z, which is I charge 5,000 yen
mm-hmm.
yearly material fee for Kids A to Z, you know. But with that also, it helped us to buy a lot of devices. So right now, our school has over 100 devices altogether, pretty much each classroom has 10 devices, whether it's iPads or other stuff. So, we're able with that to digitalize our schools better. And like I said, provide better opportunities for the kids, you know, especially like with Gamerize and stuff like that. So when we do have those big chunks that needed to, you know, we need to pay for, we have money allocated for it. So we don't have to, you know, scrape and just like, can we afford this? Because we can always.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a pretty good package. So yeah, certainly the devices is a big selling point as well. And having that. So more on the theme of increasing prices. So now that we kind of understand where your prices are and what your fees are, in the times where you did increase prices, you did mention the different ways that you added value. Were there ways that you kind of promoted that or tied that to the price increase?
Yes, we've the same, probably the same as Ryan or and Adam and stuff like that. We always give an ample amount of time, first of all. We don't drop on our customers, by the way, you know, next month the price increase or 3 months. So we usually give at least 6 months notice.
Okay, that's
we give 6 months notice that the price will increase. One thing that we've changed this time around when we increased this price is we announced the price increase, I believe, last year October, and we made an announcement that the price will increase from April. So every trials that came in and wanted to sign up for April, the prices on the website and stuff like that already been changed. Mm-hmm. At that time, we've changed the prices, but the current students were said that you will be getting the same price. But everybody who signed up, let's say October, November of last year, everybody who was coming in for trials for April, they all got already new price scheme. For this time around, due to the way everything changed and how the prices got increased pretty much everywhere, we try to be mindful of how it's affecting our consumer. And so we actually grandfathered all current students at the old price for 1 year, which means all the old students in 2022 who's been with us 2022, they still this year paying the old price, but all the new students were already paid the increased price. And from April 2024, everyone gonna be on the new price.
Right. That's certainly a topic that's come up a lot in these talks. And there really are two approaches, right? A lot of people are afraid to raise prices into their current customers. So you've actually got a different solution to that, which I hadn't heard yet. So that was, instead of just forever keeping them at the same pricing, you just give them a longer warning, essentially another year, right?
Yes. So when we make an announcement, we put together a very thought out letter, a message. Usually it's the message that comes not from school, but directly from me. I'm more than happy to share the letter with you if you're
interested. Oh, yeah, I'd love to see that.
If you're interested, yeah, I will ask the office. But we usually thank our customers first and foremost for their support and loyalty to the school and making us their choice for their child English education. Then we're telling them what we have done in the past to make it better, what we are bringing on, for example. Then we're telling them that we are doing the increase, but an increase in order for us to do that and things like that. But at the same time, we understand that many people going through the hard time and stuff like that. But in order for us to keep the high quality and stuff like that for your children. So basically everything is like for you. So the whole message has to be for you and not, oh, because we're not making ends meet. It's not like that.
Right.
But so we make an announcement like that. So I think that with enough time, people can decide. No one said to us, I'm quitting because you're raising prices.
Right.
Not even once. Maybe they did silently, but then we've never heard from anyone saying, I'm going to quit because you're raising prices. But grandfathering people, it's also in the letter, we're saying to our customers, for your loyalty and appreciation, we are going to give you 1 year to raise. So I think it gives kind of status for the old people. Right. They're like, oh, I'm getting a better deal than somebody who just started. And somebody who just started, they don't know any better because the price has already changed.
For sure.
And when we're going to raise the prices from next month, from February, the team's decision has already been made that, you know, do we need to remind them and stuff like that? And then everybody is just like we already made an announcement. Yeah. We already made an announcement. So they are going to see the price increase with the day and time of the new class from April and with the yearly material fee. It's going to say yearly material fee plus that fee. And then we deal on one-on-one basis. And somebody has a question, oh, why is the price higher? Oh, do you remember we made an announcement and stuff like that?
That way,
you don't have to deal with the entire public. And then especially the Japanese people are kind of like, okay, nobody's saying it, but then if one say it, it kind of, you know, you open up kind of can of worms sometimes. Right. So, you know what I mean? So in order to avoid that, we already made an announcement. It will be posted in the newsletter from April 2024, kind of as a reminder, but that's about it. But everyone else, you know, when they see, if you can show the value that you provide, you know, if you show the value they provide, people don't mind. People will complain and wouldn't want to pay when they think like, okay, what the hell, I'm getting a price increase for, but I'm still coming to Comic-Con and my children doesn't have a classroom and they're using the printouts and stuff like that.
So you don't want to charge more for a donut and increase the hole size at the same time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're showing your price has gone up, but we're using better ingredients or whatever.
And the same thing. And then also part of it goes like, as you know, we do a lot of events. Every year we do block parties, right? Halloween or Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's free for our students. And, you know, some parts during the event, like let's say Halloween bakery, we did. They would have to pay go half a year, but that's their choice. But besides that, they can come and enjoy everything at the event for free. So that's you know, that's kind of part of it. It's free for everyone, but the way is, you know, we're bringing up more events. We're bringing up a lot of more fun stuff for these children to enjoy. So once you show people value, as you said earlier, you know, people pay Gojuman for a Louis Vuitton bag because they know there is a value, quality value. Mm-hmm. On there, right? There's a brand value and the quality value. If you buy a Louis Vuitton bag, more than likely you'll have that bag for 30 years, and nothing's gonna happen to that leather.
Right.
So it's kind of the same thing, you know. Yeah.
On the note of quality and price increase, have you ever reduced the number of classes per year, or class lengths, or that sort of thing? Reduced or increased?
We have. When we've increased our prices 2 times ago, when we did the price increase, I believe in 2019 or 2020, 2019, when we did that price increase, during that time, we've changed our class time as well.
You made them longer?
We made the classes longer, elementary school class. We've made elementary school, all the classes used to be 50 minutes. Yeah. And kindergarten classes were 45 minutes. We have left kindergarten classes at 45 minutes, but increased elementary school classes to 1 hour. So the 10 minutes was kind of the main generator for the price increase, but we explain why we think we should increase to 15 minutes and what the 10 minutes. So we wanted to show the value in that 10 minutes of class increase time.
Right.
And then able to increase the, you know, increase the price, because if it's a 10 yen increase and you have four classes a month, it's only 250 yen per one attendance. Right, once again, when you break it down like that and show it to them, they're like, oh, okay, so it's only like 200 yen per week. It's really manageable for everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because if somebody have a bad financial situation and stuff like that, we do work with them.
That's interesting. Yeah,
that if somebody don't have that many, more and more we have students who openly would share with us if they have some kind of difficulties, mm-hmm. whether it's sickness with the main bread maker at home or whatever case may be, or father lost a job, and they, you know, rather than them quitting, especially if the kids love English and enjoying coming to school, or we usually offer them anywhere from 6 months to a year off without payment.
Right.
But, you know, that is okay, because after that, usually the people are very honest and they call us and it's like, okay, I can pay, we can pay now. So, but I think it goes more into building the trust and relationship with the community.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I completely agree with that. And I feel like anyone want, especially if you've had a student that's coming for a while, you don't want them to leave just because, like, it's not about...
it's not about that. I'll be lying, because it's on our website too. It says, you know, what is our mission and goals, that we want to give students opportunities. And if you're going to deny somebody opportunity based on an unfortunate situation, especially the kids, kids don't understand it and they don't need to understand it. But we adults, I think if we all can, you know, to me personally, I think, you know, I've been blessed. And I think it's a right thing to do to be able to pass on, as you know, the blessing to others as much as I can, because at the end it all works out.
Could it be a little bit dangerous to make that public, though?
It would be a little bit dangerous to make that public, but that's why we create that system, and to be able to train your staff to look for red flags and points when they talk to people, and then to communicate back with you and said, okay, talk, say it like this and say it like that. Or a lot of times I schedule meetings with me, and then I will have an interpreter, so I can sit down, and I'm usually can read people pretty well. So I can, and I'm very straightforward, and I just let them know. And then, you know, and pretty much we were able to avert sometimes when they said it's financial, but then you offer them to come for free and not pay anything until they get their situation better. They just feel so bad that they don't accept your offer, but then they don't quit.
They stay.
Their parents will start crying, like, you know, I've never thought that somebody can do that for us and stuff like that. So it just, you know, bottom line is, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So also another thing I heard, as a company, you can get some kind of subsidy if you go to the city, and then you can tell them that we would like to offer education for those, you know, how they have low income housing. Right, if you offer a discount for the low income people to come to school, I think also there is some kind of subsidy that the government provide. I just don't know if a private entity like Eikawa school will be considered for that. But I'm thinking if you are Kabushiki Gaisha, as you recognize as a corporation, that you might be qualified. Even if they pay less, but the thing is, it's increased the student, no matter what it is, it's business-wise, it's increased your students' numbers, it's increased your KPIs, but and also you creating opportunities for other people who probably have to choose whether they can go somewhere and stuff like that. But kids are going to be kids. The kids want to do things and try things. And I'm sure every parent want to give their child a better opportunity in life. So
absolutely, for sure. Interesting. Okay, thank you for that. That was an unexpected little gem there that we got. Do you advertise your prices anywhere? For example, on your flyers or anything like that? Do you upfront them, or do you kind of keep them?
Our price is all on the homepage.
It's all on the homepage. So flyers or advertisements, you steer away from showing.
I don't advertise school prices on the flyers. Usually our flyers show campaigns. So whatever the campaign is, and as far as pricing, if we do like a big campaign, like, okay, if you get 2 months free, then we would just write, you get 2 months free, which, you know, we'll put zero, and then regular 2 months tuition, right? Like Ichima Hasanien, for example, cross, and it's zero. So it will be like that. But no, we don't put class prices on the flyers. But it's up to everybody to see on the website, because we do want to direct traffic to a website, because we feel that our website has so much information. And I think we want our customers to get a much better idea if they go and then spend some time on the website, check out the classes, check out the videos, check out all the other stuff that we do, events, and it'll give them a better idea about our school. So we want them to want to join our school before they give us a call.
So the customer journey would be, for example, get the flyer, then visit the website.
Yes.
Hopefully they would see a lot of the videos and all the other things that would kind of get them interested. And then the pricing would be something they'd find sort of later on.
Prices on the website, we have a tab says classes.
Right.
We have a tab says classes, and it's explanation about day and class time and what the class is about and what days it's available, and then the prices.
Okay.
So the prices are all on the website. Like I said, I would rather eliminate questions. Well, we didn't know.
Right.
You know, and then I would rather eliminate when a day wasting time for them and for our office staff if they show up for the trial, go through trial, and then, you know, we do the preparation stuff again, then during the explanation period, they're like, oh, I didn't know that this is so much or whatever it is.
All the prices are clearly listed.
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. I just go from my personal preference, and my personal preference is, you know, if I go to the website, I would like to get as much information as possible, make a decision there rather than waste my time. So that's kind of how I go. And we have nothing to hide, and I don't want to give an idea that we're trying to hide something, you know.
Right.
Everything is there. So make a decision, yes or no, good either way.
Okay. Yeah, it does seem like a lot of the larger chains might have costs that are not all up front. I mean, I can't say that with absolute certainty, but you'd see sort of a basic monthly fee or whatever. But all the others, the materials and stuff like that, you'd kind of only find out about during counseling.
Sorry, our yearly material fee is not included on the website.
Okay.
Only get explained when they come. With that, everyone has an understanding that there will be an entrance fee, because in Japan, entrance fee is absolute norm. It's everywhere. And, you know, there is material fee anywhere in education sector, no matter where you go, that you have to buy a book. We do not advertise that because our yearly material fee structure is different. We can have, elementary beginner class. The new, brand new elementary beginner class students will have a much higher yearly material fee than the continuing elementary beginner student. Because when they first purchase, when they start, it's like for 2 or 3 years. The next year, that book will be subtracted from the material fee. So they pay. So as they continue, they actually pay in less.
Okay. So yeah, so it's not such a simple, like everybody pays, you know,
no,
$7 million or something.
Yeah, like it's not like everybody pays each of my end for yearly material fee. It's not like that.
It's quite complicated for your staff, isn't it? Our school is the same as well. We have lots of different courses, and they all have different materials fees and that sort of thing.
It's complicated. It's complicated, but they have the list for each level, and they just so, you know what I mean.
You're an EB student in your third year.
So basically it kind of goes like a new student, continuous student, and then another option we will have. Continuing transfer student.
Okay.
So what means continuing transfer is somebody who...
Last question, where are your schools?
We have two schools in Iowa, and one school in Ibaraki and one school in Setsu. So all Osaka prefecture.
They're all relatively close together.
The two Niigawa schools, they're about 10-minute car drive from each other. So I would say 5 kilometers or so, and the other two schools about within 10 to 15 kilometers. So yeah, not too bad.
Okay. So your prices are the same for all schools, I'm guessing.
The prices are the same for all schools. Yes.
Do you think that area, whether it's rural, urban, you know, which prefecture, whatever, do you think that should affect your pricing point?
I think price is in the eye of the beholder.
Okay.
So personally, it's what you want your school image to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah, but I do think you have to set your prices also based on what you provide for your students. Because I have experienced that I've seen some school owners teaching from their homes, and they charging supremely premium prices, which is even supersedes my school or even Ryan's school or Adam's school, but they're teaching at home. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with teaching from home, but at the same time, if I'm a customer, I mean, any normal person would absolutely know, okay, if you're the solo teacher and you're teaching at home and stuff like that, so you don't have any overhead, you don't have any of this and stuff like that. So where's the value of you charging, you know, Ichimani sen or Ichimasan sen per month teaching from home versus when I can go to actually established school? I think it's the customer perception. So you have to be very aware of that, because then if you do that, you should expect, okay, I'm charging supremely premium high prices, I'm teaching from home, so I'm okay to have 50 students or less because this is the income that I want to make.
Right.
But you cannot make, the, you know, if I would charge, you know, Nimayen per month from students, that would probably, I will have to think about, okay, who is my customer avatar?
Right.
For the Nimayen, you know, the lawyers, doctors, politicians and stuff like that, where the area, probably in the area where those people live and stuff like that, yes, this will affect. But for the rest of the stuff, you have to think of the current market situation, current economic situation in the society, and, you know, price yourself out based on your homework from other schools around the area. But the way I do, it's not just my immediate area, but I take two or three cities out.
Okay.
So, for example, if we have Niagawa, another city will be Kadoma and then Moriguchi, right? That's about 10 kilometers away. So I will check all the prices and I will price myself somewhere either in between or be at the higher rank if I feel like the product that we put out and what we have to offer, the value, you know, matches that.
Okay, great. I see that. All right. So you are doing an analysis of the prices of the area and you are positioning yourself at the upper end of it, but not exceeding what everyone else is doing.
Yes. Yes. So, yes. And that was the whole thing. Originally, when I was charging, when we just built the initial first location, when I was charging, I believe we raised from Gosenien to Rokusenien, right? And the Rokusenien text included, right? Not straight, very straightforward for all the classes. I was about between 2,500 to 3,000 yen cheaper than places like, you know, ECC or all this other stuff. And my whole mentality was, okay, we are cheaper, but I wanted to prove that our quality and the product is on the same level or much better.
Right.
So with that. But then, you know, but although right now, you know, I with all around stuff, I cannot say that we're cheaper, because now our average geisha is about 1万 2000 yen per person. So we're definitely much not cheaper, but
hold on a second. I thought so. Your geisha before you mentioned was
because we have bilingual program.
Okay, so bilingual means for students that might be taking a longer course included.
Yes. Yeah. So bilingual program, our geisha is about 1500 a month,
right?
And
for 2 hours a week.
For 2 hours a week, and then the regular is 88. So it's about average is about 1万 2000 yen.
I see.
So
what percentage of your students are in the bilingual course, roughly?
Right now, 24%.
That's not rough at all. That's the precise number.
Actually, because our goal is to be at 35% by next April. For retention, number one, for retention, rough estimate, for every 100 queries from the regular class, we have one or less queries from bilingual program.
That would be very similar. I don't know the exact, I'm not as familiar with our own school's analytics as you are, but certainly our Gakudo students or Saturday kids, the retention is very, very high. They tend to they're committing more time and effort and money and stuff into it.
Exactly. And that's part of the reason, because we also see the difference in parents, because the parents are more invested because they pay in a premium price. They are much easier to communicate with. They are asking questions, you know, and stuff like that. And with that, also the kids are motivated themselves. Parents are motivated, and those are the parents we're supporting. So little by little, I actually want to decrease our hourly classes and increase bilingual classes, because it is also much easier to handle, because 100 bilingual class students is like 200 regular class students. It's much easier to manage 100 students than 200, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then you're making the same profit margin.
Yeah, no, that's very much been the journey for us as well. fewer students, but many more classes.
Yes.
And it is, it's easier to kind of take better care of them when there's
just
less names on the roster, right?
Yep. Yeah.